Fans, it's great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. A pleasure to welcome Stephen Katz to the show. He is the author of Candy Cummings, and Candy Cummings, the name of the book is Candy Cummings, and it's the life and career of the inventor of the curveball. Without Candy Cummings, folks, we would have a very different baseball game today. But Stephen Katz did a great, great biography of Candy Cummings and his story. And let me tell you a little bit about Stephen. He's an attorney who taught and practiced law. I like that. Then served for 26 years in the legal office of the United Nations. And he's a member of the Society for American Baseball Research, of course, SABR. Stephen, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you very much, Marty. It's terrific to be here. And I thank you for your kind words about the book.
Well,
and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a just get cooking here. I mean, it's a great story. He's a very important part of baseball history. So let me ask you, you're a lawyer. You've been part of the UN. How does Candy Cummings enter your life?
Well, Candy and I share one thing in common, and that's that we were both born in the small central Massachusetts town of Ware. And that's how I became interested in candy. It turns out, by the way, that candy is only one of seven baseball players from Ware who made it to the major leagues. Now, that's sort of remarkable because it's a very small town. It's a traditional Massachusetts mill town. And in 2017, I published a book about these seven players. The first chapter was about Candy Cummings. I thought he deserved more than just a chapter in a book. I thought he deserved a full biography. Look, Candy Cummings was one of the most one of the best and most celebrated pitchers of the 19th century. As I discuss in the book, he was the inventor of the curveball, which had a major effect, an immense influence on the development and evolution of the game of baseball as we know it. He was a baseball pioneer. He was playing at the dawn of professional baseball. He played in the National League. He's one of the first players in the National League. He was playing in 1876 when the National League was founded. And he was the first president of what is now regarded, at least by some people, as the first minor league. And finally, Candy Cummings is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was inducted in 1939. Before my book, there had been no full-length biography of Candy. And I thought he deserved more than just a chapter in a book. And so I set about writing this biography.
Well, it's terrific. Stephen Katz is with us. The name of the book is Candy Cummings. And, of course, as Stephen said, he pitched in the 19th century, the beginning of baseball, and he really revolutionized the game. And, again, as I know it, and people would say, well, who invented the curveball? You say Candy Cummings, and that's really all I knew about him is that they said he invented the curveball. But, Stephen, tell us a little bit about life for Candy Cummings. What was baseball life like for a young person prior to the National League even being formed? What was baseball all about then?
Baseball was was a very different game from the game that it is from the game that exists today. The baseball that we're talking about is the baseball that really grew up in Brooklyn and in the New York City and Brooklyn metropolitan area. There were other versions of baseball around. There was another version in New England. There was yet a third version down in Pennsylvania. But the game that we know that evolved in the game that we know today had its origins really in Brooklyn. And that's where Candy Cummings grew up. His family moved from the town of Ware, Massachusetts, down to Brooklyn in 1852. But the game was very different then. The game was really a contest between the batter and the fielders, and the fielders weren't very good in those days. They weren't very effective. They didn't wear gloves. Most of the runs scored in a traditional baseball game were scored by errors. So the dominant player on the field was the hitter. The pitcher played only a secondary role. His role was to deliver the ball to the batter in such a way that the batter could hit the ball and put it in play. So the pitcher was playing a very minor role. He had to cater to the proclivities of the batter, and the rules were very strict about how the ball could be delivered to the batter. The pitcher had to deliver the ball underhand with his arms straight, swinging perpendicular to the body, much like the pitching of horseshoes. And I'm guessing that the word pitching that we use today it really comes from the technique of the parallel of pitching as you were pitching horseshoes. But you had to swing your arm back and forth. You had to toss the ball underhand. You couldn't twist your wrist. It was a very mechanical process, and you had to give the batter the baseball, provide the batter with the baseball in the place that the batter wanted it so he could put it into play. So it was very different. And it was Candy Cummings and his curveball that really changed all that.
Well, it's like analytics. Candy Cummings figured out, boy, the analytics here, if I throw it off the plate, they're not going to be able to barrel it up. So he saw that he could do that to the hitters. But it wasn't really legal, or was it legal what he was doing? Because you've described pitching horseshoes, and he had to do something with his wrist, as we know, to throw the curveball. Now, why Candy's important is because, look at baseball today. He is the first person who figured it out, how to twist the hand or twist the wrist to put a spin on the ball and get hitters out. So how did he even learn how to do that?
Well, the story that he told was that he got the idea of putting a spin on the ball, as when he was with a bunch of his friends in Brooklyn. He was a young teenager. And he was with a bunch of his friends tossing clam shells. And his story is that he and his friends were watching these clam shells twist left and right. But then they got the idea, wouldn't it be fun if we could make a baseball do the same thing? Well, Candy was an inquisitive kid. He was a bright kid. And he was an educated kid. And so he set about trying to figure out how to get a baseball to curve. And he worked on it for months, and it turned out to be years. And he put his mind to it, and it sort of came to him that, well, maybe if you can make the baseball turn, then maybe if you can make it rotate, then maybe that will make it curve. So that put him on the track of twisting your wrist to make the baseball curve. Now, that story may be apocryphal. We don't really know. There is no evidence that I'm aware of to corroborate it. Nobody who was there at the time has corroborated it. What we do know is that he did develop the curveball. He was throwing the curveball in the 1860s. And the story that he tells about the inspiration is probably as good a story as any.
Candy Cummings is the name of the book. Stephen Katz, K-A-T-Z, is the author. Of course, we support our local bookstore, the Book Tree in Montclair. David can order it for you. I'm sure he would have it. It's really very interesting to read how all this came about. Now, pitching changed. Pitcher got to be sidearm, got to throw overhand, went back 50 feet to 60 feet, 6 inches. How did the curveball evolve with that? Because then now all of a sudden you're throwing the ball and you really can make it curve.
Yeah. Well, When Candy was starting out throwing the curveball, was illegal. And as I said, under the rules that prevailed at the time, you couldn't twist your wrist, and that's how Candy tossed the curveball. But umpires were ignoring it. First of all, they couldn't really detect the wrist twist from where they were standing. They weren't really standing where umpires are today. First of all, there was only one umpire, by the way, in those days, and he was standing well behind the batter and sort of to one side, and so we couldn't really see it. But the other thing is that umpires came to the conclusion that this curveball thing, this movement that this guy is putting on the ball is really good for the game because it's making the game more exciting. Mm-hmm. So as we come to 1870, Candy first introduced curveball in 1867. As we get to 1870, the curveball was becoming, Candy's use of the curveball was becoming more and more prevalent, and is becoming more and more tolerated. And then we get to we eventually reach the point at which the governing body of baseball at that time began changing the rules. Now, they began changing the rules to allow the arm to depart from the perpendicular, and eventually the rules were changed to allow the wrist to twist. And from that point on, it was history, and the curveball came into usage. It became recognized. The curveball into the early 1870s, the curveball began to spread to other pitchers, and it just grew and grew from there. So today, it's for most pitchers, it's part of it's an important part of their pitching arsenal.
Mm. He was a big star. He was a big star because, look, he was the Koufax, the Gibson, the Marischal, That's Walter right. Johnson. He was the big star of the game.
That's right. That's wow. right. He was. And he was starring from an early age. He got his start in organized baseball back in Brooklyn, playing with with some of the amateur clubs there. In fact, all baseball clubs were theoretically amateur in the mid and late 1860s. There were clubs that were paying players to play for them, but they were notionally amateur. So that's where Candy got his start. One of the clubs that he was playing with was called the Stars. Another club was called the Excelsiors. Both of these were big clubs in Brooklyn. It was in when Candy was still with the Excelsiors, which was around 1867. The press were already calling him the Boy Wonder. He was already wowing people with his pitching skills. And as his career progressed, the laudatory press coverage just increased. It became widespread as knowledge of this kid from Brooklyn who could make the ball bend on its way to the batter. As this spread, then the press far outside of Brooklyn began to cover him, and he began to receive the same kind of laudatory coverage that he was receiving in Brooklyn. And it just continued year after year after year until the high point of his career, which was when he was playing for a big club in Hartford called the Dark Blues. In 1875 and 1876, he was receiving just tremendous press coverage. Of course, there were departures. You know, when he would lose a game, the press would sort of come down on him. But even when he was losing games, even if he did lose a game, it was, as I said earlier, it was probably more often because of errors by the fielders And the press were happy to let Candy off the hook. They said, but Candy did well, notwithstanding the loss, notwithstanding the fact that the game, that his team was defeated. He pitched quite well. And so he was receiving tremendous press coverage throughout his career up to its high point in the mid-1870s.
Boy, it's a pleasure having you on, Stephen. The book Candy Cummings, we don't have baseball today. The pitching is so important today. We don't have it without the beginning. And Candy Cummings was the beginning of the curveball, which led to the screwball and the slider and everything else. But he was the one who started a very big star, and he's, of course, a Hall of Famer in the first big class in 1939 in Cooperstown. Stephen, a pleasure to have you with us. I'm glad you did the book, and I'm glad to know that the curveball did have an origin, and it came from pitching horseshoes. That's a good image for me, so I appreciate having you on.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Marty. I really appreciate your having me on. It was an honor for me to be here. I love the story of Candy Cummings. I love doing the book, and I'm delighted to have been able to speak to you today.
Good. No, big part of baseball history. I'm glad to do it. All right, more coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.